when my kids were little, now they're grown and they're teenagers. They're beautiful and grown up. But when they were little, my son was 2, my daughter was just born, we would take these walks around the neighborhood. And I had this image of what I wanted my family to be like. And that was like the number one goal in my life at that time. It's my goal now. And even as a child and into my teen years, I wanted this family that I never had. It was so deep in me. When our family was young, it was like I was living this dream, this image that I had in my mind, and we would take these little walks around the neighborhood, and it was just like almost like a TV, like a movie. You know, there's a little red wagon, and they're in the back, and we would walk around, and the evening's cool, and there's flowers out. It's just dazzling and beautiful, and my dream was coming true to have this family. And we circled around this one evening, and we came all the way back to our little condo that we had. And the phone rang, and back then, we didn't really have cell phones as much. We had a landline, and my kids don't really understand what landlines are. And it's a cord. There's a cord. Where does it go? It goes into the wall. Into the wall. Where does it go after the wall, Dad? Anyway, that night, the phone rang, and my wife ran inside to get it, and she came rushing to the door in a panic, and she said, "It was for me." So I went to the phone, and I answered it, and it was my dad, and he was calling from jail. And he said, "I'm in jail, and they're accusing me of a very, very serious crime." And that changed my life forever. The way I describe it, I try to describe what happened. It was like this happiness that I had from this perfect family life that I always wanted. It was like ripped out of me, and there was just this void, but it just wasn't a void. It was like this void of pain, and that's all that was there. And that began about 10 years of just emptiness and trying to fill that emptiness, trying to find something to fill me and something to take the pain away. And so I really thought that if I had a lot of doubts too, at the very beginning of this, my faith really just kind of crumbled, and I started to have a lot of doubts about God and about Christianity. But I really thought that if I could capture a moment of happiness and take it and hold it and open it and look inside and see it for its essence and for its nature, then I could find the answer to true happiness, and I can have happiness once again. But before I ever got to that point, I spent a lot of time trying to find healing and happiness again. And so I would reach for something, I would take it, and I would put it inside, and it wouldn't fit, and it wouldn't fill, and then I would toss it away. And then I would take the next thing, good and bad. I would take the next thing, grab it, put it inside, it wouldn't fit, it wouldn't fill, I would toss it aside. So taking and grabbing and tossing away, just continuing that process until there was nothing left. I thought that I had tried everything. Was knowledge the way? Was it some sort of technique to find happiness? Was it pleasure? Was it material goods? Was it success? You know, what was it? I tried everything, and I journaled. What is it? What is this next thing? Can it be happiness, or is it happiness? It's not. And so I journaled, writing through all of these things that weren't happiness. I reached the end, and I just felt like I couldn't find it. And that week, my former pastor sent me a letter, and my dad also sent me a letter. And the reason why this former pastor sent me a letter, which was the guy that was like my mentor, I thought I was going to go into ministry, and so he was helping me, and he kind of stepped in to be my father-like figure. The reason why he was writing me that week, because my pastor was also incarcerated. So he, my mentor, my father figure, and my dad, my own dad, were both in prison. There was nothing left to heal me and to make me happy. And I got these two letters. And there was something about getting those two letters. It just totally overcame me. It was like all of the evil and all of the emptiness, all that I had ever been through just jumped upon me and started to kind of like devour me. And so I found myself actually by myself, and I was thinking, the pain's too much. There's nothing left, and the only thing that could possibly take the pain away is ending my existence. And so I had this wrestling, turmoiling kind of conversation with myself. And I ultimately, going back to my family, decided against ever doing anything like that, because even though the pain may continue the whole rest of my life and I may never find something that would fill me, I wanted to live and go through that if I could just watch them and see them. I couldn't let them go. So I continued on. Not long after that, I still, again, not finding what I needed, I felt like this urge to volunteer. Just this kind of tugging. And it just wouldn't go away, and I thought, I think I'm going to try to find something to do. Just something on a regular basis. Not just like a one-time thing, but I want to find something to plug into to volunteer. Maybe that'll help a little bit. So I sat down and I did a search, and immediately on the first page, this ad popped up for the organization I told you guys about earlier that takes children's books into prison so that fathers can record themselves reading to their kids. And that sent a chill down my spine, because not only was my father incarcerated, but he was illiterate. So I signed up and I went into prison for the first time, not as a visitor, but as a volunteer. And so we went to the Washtenaw County Jail in Ann Arbor. I met another volunteer there. I was going to shadow and assist. I knew the routine, right? I know what the area is like. We signed in, went through the metal detectors, and they took us into the prison. We went through a set of metal doors and down some stairs and past more doors and more stairs until we were into the pit of the prison. And we met the men there in the recreation area. They were playing cards, and they're all around, and they saw us, and before you knew it, we had seven men gathered around a table, and they began to pick out books. So they had their books picked out, and we explained to them how this was going to work, and it was time for the first dad to read. So there I am, about 10 years into my dad's incarceration. Just thought I would volunteer, do something local, I don't know. And now I'm in prison, and these dads are gonna read their books. They're gonna read books to their kids. So when that first dad began to read, it took all that I had to keep myself composed. There was just something so beautiful in that man's voice. He made it like into a daddy's voice, high and soft. He took the pages and he held this little recorder and he gently turned the pages and he read to his little baby girl a little Dr. Seuss book, and he said, "Hi Sam, this is Dad. I'm thinking about you. I saw this book and I thought how we used to read it together. Do you like green eggs and ham? Do you like them, Sam I am?" And he read this book and then he finished. And then it was time for the second dad to read. But when he opened his mouth to read this little baby's book, no words came out. He was totally overcome with emotion. His voice was cracking and pausing. He just completely stopped, and the room was silent. All these men were just so quiet and patient and so respectful of one another. And we sat there for a long time. He would try to read, and then he would stop, and he would try to read. we sat there and we waited, and then finally he read this little tiny baby picture book, and he finished. That moment, when that dad paused his reading, it changed my life forever. All that I had been seeking and wanting to fill my heart and to take the pain away, I found in that moment. There was something in that room, something all around us, in between us, in us. It entered me, it changed me, it changed within me. It entered my existence yet to be, and my existence that had gone. I felt it like in my body. I felt it in my bones. I physically shook. There were only a few times ever in my life I felt something so strong that I physically was affected. And so the men finished reading. We left the recreation area. We said goodbye. We went up the stairs and out some doors and more stairs and more doors until we were out into the parking area. And that's when the other volunteer asked me what I thought. And when she asked, and I felt like I can let go, I just let go, and I physically shook from the crying and all that was within me, something echoing and reverberating within me. There was something just so beautiful and pure and overflowing that I was experiencing. It just lasted through that whole day. And so when you're happy, you don't think about being happy. That next morning, I awoke to my children playing outside my bedroom door. And I looked over the covers and I smiled back at them. And that's when I realized that that pain that had seized me every single morning for 10 years, it would go into the pit of my stomach and it would last there all day long until I would go to sleep at night. It wasn't there. And I was stunned by it. And I thought it was one of these things, like, if you think about it, if you're aware of it, then all of a sudden that's going to, like, trigger the thing coming. So I stopped. I was like, wow, I'm okay. I feel okay. And then I waited, and nothing. And I waited more, and nothing. It was pure peace, contentment. And not only that, not only was the pain gone, but that space where the pain was, now it was filled with happiness. Pure happiness. And that's when I realized that every sense that day before, being with the dads in prison, reading with them, I had been perfectly happy. I had to figure out, what was it that I encountered that day in prison? What was it that changed my life? It was love. I mean, it was love. It was the love of the men for their children, the children for the fathers, the love that the men had for each other when they waited in respect. This love that sprung from me, almost like with a will and a life of its own. It was love that filled that room, and that makes total sense to me. That love can be that powerful, all in one moment, all in one instant, to change you. If what John says is really true, that God is love. I mean, think about what God did. That same place that ripped me and tore me to pieces was the same place that he would use to put me back together again. How great is God? How surprising, how staggering is he? Matthew 25:36 says, I was in prison and you visited me. Jesus said the greatest thing you can do is love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's one complete thing. And if we lack in one, we lack in all three. If we lack in one, the whole thing collapses. It's complete love. And so, not only did my life change, not only did happiness, true happiness, come back, not only did the pain go away, but my understanding of God and of Christianity changed. Because I realized in my loving God my love for God was severely lacking because I wasn't loving Him in the broken. So that's what the book is really. It's trying to find that moment, and that moment was that day in prison of pure, true happiness, opening it up and looking inside and seeing it for what it is. It was love. God is love.